Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Vorgon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country and from road riding to triathlon. And today I'm talking to Josh Amberger. The Australian is one of the fastest swimmers in the Ironman category and appeared on the world stage of Ironman in 2017 when he got the first guy out of the water. How it is to lead the important event of the year, and if it's an advantage to lead the first category of out of three, you will find out in this episode of Pumped. Hey Josh, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to us. How was your day so far?
Yeah, no problem, Toby. I'm pumped to be on the Pumped podcast. I've been waiting all day to say that. So it's been a good day here down under. We're just kind of heading into summer now, so it's actually getting like super hot. And I'm just starting like getting back into training after a break. So yeah, a little bit of training and a little bit of leisure, and it's 6 p.m. And yeah, I'm talking to you. So
that's a good day, huh? When you're talking to me.
Yeah.
At my place, it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, you already have your whole day behind you. Where are you right now?
I'm in Brisbane, Australia, so it's on the East Coast, and yeah, I'm at home, so I've lived in Brisbane all my life.
Nice. So the first time you really appeared on the world stage of triathlon was in 2017, when you were the first one gets out of the swimming in Kona on the Ironman World Championship. With a good gap to everyone else. So what is it like to be the first get out of the water and on the bike on the most important race in the year?
Yeah, so it's being a good swimmer is obviously important. You're starting the race with the swim, it's good to start in the lead. But it actually, if you're like too good at swimming, at a level that's like well above the rest of the field, then you actually don't seem to do yourself any favors at all, because you just really isolate yourself at the front of the race. And because Ironman is such a long event, mm-hmm. By the time we get out of the water, we're only just less than an hour into an 8-hour race. So that particular year in Kona, it was, I expected to swim that well, and I've been known as the strongest swimmer in the sport for some time now, obviously coming through from like short distance to middle distance and now Ironman, that's like swimming as my strength has obviously transferred throughout the distances. So it wasn't a surprise in Kona that year to be leading, but I certainly took advantage of the chance to be out front. At the end of the day, it didn't serve me well at all, because I pushed too hard on the bike by mm-hmm. myself, and I spent 3 hours at the front of the race, but then finished well back. So it didn't do me any good in terms of performance, but I certainly got my name out there, and I guess attracted a bit of media, and it's been pretty good since then.
Nice. So, but how much affects your swimming when you're leading? Is it harder to lead? Because on the bike you have some really strict regulation that you need a certain distance. But how is it with the swimming when you lead? I mean,
yeah. So definitely, there is like a drafting effect in the water, the same as you experience on a bicycle. So to be honest, it's if you're sitting like the second, third or fourth in a pack all the way back to, I mean, sometimes these packs of swimmers can be like 20 or 30 guys, and it's like a nightmare. You know, you're always getting like kicked and pulled and punched and so forth. So it's actually, yeah, much easier. Although it can be like a little bit dangerous, it's much easier to swim in these packs than to be out in front. But at the same time, it's much better to be like at the front of the race with a small group of guys to work well on the bike together, because you know, you have to be the best of the best cyclists to have to outride like a group of men that are super motivated and are working hard together on the bike. I mean, it's non-drafting racing, of course, but there's always advantages to having athletes around you, whether it's like in the swim, the bike, or the run.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so going back to the beginning, how did you start doing triathlon?
So I started triathlon when I was about 13 or 14 years old, and I'd always been swimming like full-time up until this point. Obviously in Australia, it's like a national sport to be swimming, and to grow up swimming, it's a really fun and social sport to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed the swimming, but of course, by the time I was a teenager, I was kind of like over it and wanted a change. And I found, but I still enjoyed swimming, just not like 10 times a week when you're like trying to grow up and have fun and go to parties and so forth. So I found triathlon because it still had swimming, obviously, but it just provided much more variety. And by that point, I'd already started some road cycling and mountain biking and cross country running. So it was, I guess, like a natural fit. And to me, it was kind of like the perfect transition, because I grew up with a lot of elite swimmers, a lot of Olympians and so forth, and they were finished their swimming career mostly by like the lucky ones that kind of made it. They were done by 24 or 25 years old, and they were like old in the sport. Mm-hmm. Whereas I've really been able to, you know, settle into triathlon. I'm 31 now, and kind of, if I'm lucky, still have like 10 more years to go. So I'm extremely fortunate that and can consider triathlon like an amazing sport, simply because we can do it for so long at a high level, which just, like, I love the lifestyle and I love the competition, so I wouldn't really want it any other way. So I started traveling, however, like quite young, out of high school. I was 17 years old where I went for my first overseas competition in Hamburg, actually.
Mm-hmm.
for the junior world championships in the short distance, and yeah, really kind of have been traveling to Europe every single year since I was 17 or 18. So this year's actually been quite different. I haven't left Australia once, which is, yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Really, to think about it.
So you already told us that you're 31, and in other sports, your career is slowly coming to an end. Why is it in triathlon so different? I mean, with 31, you're pretty much in the best age, or the best age is just to come. So why is it so different to any other sport?
I don't really know the definite answer, but I'm sure it's got something to do with the extreme endurance component to it. You know, you have to be strong and powerful and all these things, but it's not so important like in, I don't know, let's say like BMX racing where you have to be, or track cycling where you have to be extremely explosive, and it's very difficult to maintain that explosiveness with age. Whereas in like long distance triathlon, you just kind of have to be obviously talented and strong, but just fit, and it's just easier to maintain that level of fitness, I think, as you get older. So I don't really ask questions, so yeah.
But does it have to do with that you gain in experience over the years you're doing triathlon, and how much experience do you need to really compete on a top level? Is it more that you need to be super fit, and this is the key, or is it that you really need to grow your experience to play out your strengths in the right way?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And I think there's many different types of experience. And for me, I've never really been so much like a nervous racer. I don't get often nervous before competitions. So my first time I'm racing the Ironman World Championships in Kona, I was just like more excited about this. But I had no experience with like tactics at this distance. So I think mentally I have like good experience and good maturity mentally. But yeah, sure, like in terms of race tactics, not much experience at all when racing 8 hours. So the 70.3, the half Ironman, I've got a lot of experience. I think I've done like 35 of these races now, mm-hmm. which takes about, you know, 3.5 to 4 hours. So yeah, the experience is definitely like a massive component. However, every single year, it seems like there's just younger and younger athletes that are doing well, particularly like young females as well. So mm-hmm. every year, and no matter what kind of sport you're watching, like watching the mountain biking World Cups and so forth recently, like there's been some young athletes who have been doing like extremely well. So it's kind of interesting how every year, like we just see something different and some young athletes join the fold. But I think always on the biggest stage at the World Champs, it's where you see the athletically experienced athletes prevail, certainly.
Yeah. In triathlon, it's the long distance that's the most important discipline, the Ironman. But it's super long to watch, and yeah, for the athletes, it's super challenging to just finish an Ironman. But why is it so fascinating that you do the long distance?
I mean, watching an Ironman is not everyone's cup of tea. In fact, most people that watch the race actually reckon that it's harder to watch the race than actually do the race. So
that is also my experience.
I forgot the question.
Why is it the long discipline which is so fascinating?
I think that the challenge is just like so like alluring. It's like the Ironman World Champion is basically like a god, and in our sport, and it's just something that if you're a professional, it's like you want to be the world championship. You want to be the world champion in the Ironman, and I know particularly like if you're a German, to be like a world champion at the Ironman is like brings like next level career opportunities. Yeah. So it's just something about the race and how, I don't know, difficult it is to put together a perfect performance over the distance that makes it so it'd be a dream to win the event. It's just so, it's like something you never imagined would happen. Everyone wants to win this race, and I wish it wasn't so difficult, and that all the best athletes wanted to do some shorter distance, but it seems to just get more and more competitive every year, which is keeps it fun, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And what makes a good triathlete?
You have to have, just like good maturity and good poise on the race course. Of course, it's like you have to be fit and strong and all these, but you have to have an extremely, like you have to be really patient. And typically this is something you would have seen if you watched the race in Kona in 2017, you would have seen that I wasn't patient at all. And I was leading the race for, as I mentioned, for 3 hours. And then it's like, I just got too excited. I kind of thought it was easy. And then I blew up and never was close to the front, from that point. So Yeah.
So in one of your interviews or videos, you said that you really like suffering. So how much does the suffering is part of the game of the Ironman? So how much is mental on the sport, and how much is really the fitness?
I think I love suffering, but I think there's a lot more athletes that I compete against that seem to love it much more than me and find like a whole nother level of suffering. And of course, it's definitely part of doing well at the distance. Sometimes you have where for 8 hours you just feel amazing and nothing hurts and you win. And other times, for the 8 hours, you can just feel terrible and nothing seems to go right. And literally all you have to do is suffer. But I think there's guys that I race against, like Schwab athlete Sebastian Kienle, and Canadian Lionel Sanders, and British athlete Alistair Brownlee, and you just see how much they're hurting themselves and just turning themselves inside out. And I dare say that I kind of envy the level that they're able to push themselves to. And yeah, I guess every year I'm always trying to find my own limits and push beyond them. So it's definitely part of the challenge to suffer, and I guess to learn how to suffer a little bit more, if that's possible or comprehensible.
So many athletes have really big problems with the swimming discipline, and for you it's your strength. Does it give you a mental advantage to lead the first discipline and don't have to wait until the end to play out your strength?
I think, as I mentioned, it's always an advantage to be a good swimmer, but it's not necessarily an advantage to be the best swimmer, because you don't want to like isolate yourself at the front of the race, because it's a very good chance that you'll get caught at some point, and by that point, all of your energy is gone. So I think where my advantage comes in is not necessarily being super strong at swimming. It's just being confident at swimming and knowing that, like, I'm not going to start the race on the back foot, and I don't have to worry about getting out of the swim and being, you know, 5 minutes behind the lead, and wondering and, you know, trying everything I can to bridge across the gap to the front of the race. So yeah. That kind of confidence definitely sets me up, and it probably helps me not feel any nerves before the race as well. Whereas I know definitely like the weaker swimmers are like super nervous and often, you know, panic and make mistakes. And yeah, probably not even like perform to where they should be or where their training has been, just because of how nervous they are about the start of the swim. And of course, you know, we're open water swimming, and there's a whole bunch of guys around you, like touching you, pulling you, you know, doing anything they can to get in front of you. So it's definitely like, yeah, this real extreme part of triathlon is like the open water swimming and learning how to cope with like the stress and anxiety that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. So you already told us that you're starting with swimming, but how did you get into cycling? Have you always had an interest in it, or did you start just for triathlon?
Yeah, of course. You know, I was growing up in Australia kind of in the era of like road cyclists like Robbie McEwen and Baden Cook and Stuart O'Grady. So I was always watching cycling on TV, and just kind of started with a club and started some crit racing and so forth. But I pretty much just pursued triathlon once I started that. So yeah, I've done some like time trialing recently, but yeah, pretty much just always stuck to my guns with triathlon.
Yeah. So Sebastian Kienle rides mountain bikes here and there, and he would like to compete in enduro races. How about you? Is mountain biking a thing for you, or is it maybe you want to do something in mountain biking, or is it road biking, triathlon, and that's it? And yeah.
Oh, definitely. I love any kind of cycling. And where I live in Brisbane, I've got like extremely good access to trails, whether it be like downhill trails or just like gravel roads, even fire trails, cross-country trails, basically everything you could want.
Mm-hmm.
As a cyclist, I've got it. So, you know, in my garage, of course, I've got the road bike, the TT bike, I've got the cross bike, I've got like a 650B gravel bike, and my mountain bike. So I love every kind of cycling, and I'd love to do some races. Like probably XCO is more my level. I'm not super confident on like extreme terrain, but I'd definitely love to do it. It's just that even like trail running and ultra running and stuff, this really interests me. Anything with like kind of like extreme or adventure built into it is what I'm about. But triathlon is such a sport where you need like total dedication to it if you want to be a professional, or you're really just not going to be able to keep up with the competition. So you're always trying to balance your training and what you just keep your ambitions in check with really what you want to do. And I guess it comes to a point where if you're not prepared to do the training in triathlon every day to your best possible level, then that's probably when you know it's time to walk away from professional sport. And then you, of course, there's plenty of time to enjoy the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
But I haven't got to that point yet, fortunately. And I look forward to pursuing trying to get better every year in triathlon.
Yeah. So another big thing you're really interested in is coffee. And for many road bikers and triathletes, coffee is a part of their life. Why is it so?
Oh, it's like just the best distraction, really, isn't it? It's just, it's like the first thing you think about when you wake up. it's the first thing you think about when you finish training normally, or if you need a distraction during your training, like your bike ride or whatever. I don't know. It's just the best. It's the best distraction. And I actually enjoy coffee from many aspects. I roast coffee here at home.
So you have your own roastery?
I wouldn't exactly say it's a roastery. It's definitely hobby level, but I do have a roaster. And of course I've got, a La Marzocca espresso machine, and I've got my German Malkönig grinder, and all my filter coffee, like the pour over and an AeroPress. So yeah, I enjoy lots of different types of coffee, from roasting it and of course drinking it.
So Jan Frodeno is also, very deep in the coffee game. Are there more guys in the triathlon business who are so interested into coffee?
Probably not from a business standpoint. I tried to, I did like some mail order coffee for a while with me and a friend who's now retired from the sport, and we were called Skullduggery Coffee, and basically we just had like this online shop. And it was like really, really like low key. But we actually were getting like so many orders that it just became too hard to do it and do it well and balance the training. So we ended up having to kind of like just let it quietly slip away. So we did it for like 2 years, and then we just didn't renew the website license. So but of course that was like a fun thing to do, but definitely like time consuming. And I think you'll find that like Jan is not spending any time on the coffee business at all, because there's just no way that you could do that and be the best triathlete in the world at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just, he can make so much more of a lifestyle and career from triathlon than coffee. Coffee's quite difficult if you want to do it well and make good money out of it.
Yeah. So you even travel around around the world with your own coffee grinder and machine. Are you afraid to not getting a good coffee while you're traveling?
Yeah, of course. It's I guess I'm not anxious about many things, but this is probably the only or one of the only things I'm anxious about when I'm traveling. Not even like, I wouldn't even consider traveling. Like if I'm going to stay at my like parents-in-law, or I'm going to stay with my sister, or, you know, even if I'm just going to visit someone, I'll always take the grinder, take the beans and the AeroPress. So I just like consistently good coffee and yeah, not many compromises beyond that. So it's easy to rely on myself and take my own coffee. And it's actually like quite a good conversation starter, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think I've even made a coffee on an aeroplane where I've ground the beans and I've asked the hostess for some hot water and made a coffee on the aeroplane. So that's actually quite funny.
So are you doing any racing in Italy?
I actually have not raced in Italy before, but I would probably say that Italy is not the best spot to get coffee for sure. I'd probably rather maybe be in Oslo or Oslo, maybe Stockholm or anywhere in Denmark, really, Copenhagen.
Yeah.
To get the kind of coffee that I'm after.
Okay. So
yeah.
Are you more the espresso guy, or what is your favorite coffee?
Yeah, I like light roasted coffee. So the kind of roast degree where you taste like the acidity and the sweetness and the like the floral notes and the, like the juicy stuff in the coffee. So typically you're doing that, yeah, from a light roast and like a pour over kind of method. But of course, yeah, espresso, I'll drink espresso all day if it's good. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're traveling to Germany, it's really hard to get some good coffee. But yeah, I have the feeling compared to Germany, if you're going to Italy and you turn over on their first gas station, you get some really good coffee compared to the stuff you get in Germany. So
yeah. a lot of people actually say that about Australia too. And generally I think, yeah, the quality of coffee is quite high here, and people have a good appreciation for it as well.
Nice. So in a normal year, you travel a lot. So you do some races in Europe, Hawaii, and yeah, so on and so on. How is it this year? So did you compete in any race this year?
Yeah, so generally, like, as an Australian, if you want to be good in any sport, you have to travel.
Yeah.
And you'll meet, like, Australians all over the world doing all sorts of crazy things. But, yeah, it's just something that we have to get used to, is being away from home a lot. So typically I can spend up to like 5 to 6 months away overseas every year, which is very challenging. Mm-hmm. And this is the first year, yeah, I mentioned before, that I haven't left home. And like, while that's frustrating and, you know, it'd be good to be racing and so forth, it's actually been like really nice to just spend some time at home and actually properly relax for a little bit, because it's full gas. Like, triathlon is full gas. We've got racing like 12 months a year all around the world, no matter where you are. Like, if it's summertime or spring or whatever, you know, there's racing. So we always tend to race like a lot more than what we should. And growing up doing triathlon and trying to make a career, you definitely, I've done like extreme levels of racing weekend after weekend and never really given myself a chance to properly unwind. So it's been nice to not have a full program to worry about this year, but definitely I've still done some racing. I managed to win the Australian middle distance championship in February down near Melbourne in Geelong. Mm-hmm. And pretty much, yeah, after that, everything, of course, changed. And then the situation became quite safe here in Australia and the weather warmed up. So we had some more racing in September where I did a half Ironman and a full Ironman. And I was third place in both, which I was satisfied with because mentally it was quite difficult to train for these events just because like the racing mind and the desire wasn't really there to get the most out of myself just because of how different everything has been. So it's been definitely good to be able to have some chances to race. And now there's starting to be some events overseas, but it doesn't actually kind of make sense for me to go overseas yet to race. So I might leave that till next year.
Yeah. So in Europe, the season slowly comes to an end, but you have the summer just ahead of you. Any chance that there are some races you can do in Australia in the upcoming months?
Yeah, definitely. It's all kind of wrapped up for 2020, but like 2021, probably January and into February, we'll start to see some racing. So late summer, really. And then there's always some bigger events as the weather starts to get a bit cooler around April, May. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we just kind of have to like wait to see how it all happens. My fiance is training for the Olympic Games in Tokyo. So my first half of the year is probably going to be like more prioritized around supporting her and trying to obviously balance my own racing around that. So yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what the plan looks like.
Mm-hmm. I've seen pictures of you and your Land Rover. So you're turning into nature to relax and recharge the batteries. Is it hard for someone like you whose whole life is it's completely into competition and racing to switch off?
Yeah, of course. Like this last month, actually, since I've kind of been on a bit of a holiday since my last race, I've been like, I go from this phase of being like all or nothing in the sport to then being like all or nothing in like some hobby. So at the last month has literally been spending like trying to kind of like restore parts of my car that I've neglected for years. So we do a lot of beach driving and like adventuring on the beach here in Australia. So it's really hard on like the underbody of the car. There's like a lot of rust everywhere. So I'm like now starting to not obsess over triathlon and training. And literally like every day has just been giving like attention to some part of my car and doing some modifications to it and so forth. So I'm actually getting ready for a short trip this weekend to an island. We drive the cars on a big boat and go over there, and it's kind of like all remote, full driving and camping and stuff. So we've definitely got like some good chances here to escape, and really get away from things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Normally this is a time of the year when you have a little bit of a training break. But what are your plans for the next time? Is it, more relaxing on the lonely island, or is it full training for the next race season? Are you super motivated to come into 2021 and be 100% there?
Yeah, of course. And so this little trip this weekend is kind of like my last little bit of chance for a little holiday. It's like the last opportunity I have to take some time away. And it's great in these spots, you like put your phone away because there's no reception or anything. So I mentioned we kind of had to do this podcast today, or it would be like we'd have to do it next week. So it's really cool. It's to do this, and yeah, it's like my last chance before the next bit of training begins, because my coach is kind of starting to get a little bit frustrated with me. I think he wants me to start to get into some structure, and my coach is actually German, so he really loves the structure. So yeah, definitely it's I forgot the question actually.
Yeah, if it's if you start training. No, but I think you answered it already. So
So I think that the second part to my answer for that was going to be I am definitely motivated to start training, because you know, every year I think we find new ways to get the most out of ourselves, maybe like a new training technique, or some equipment, or a new coach or something. But I think every year when you have a chance to reassess your performance from the last season and make new goals for the next season, and I'm definitely hungry to keep improving and to get the most out of myself. And that's what I think really drives me every year, is I know I can do better, and I know I can achieve more. And yeah, I think I'll be doing triathlon to a point where I think this is no longer possible, and then I'll be happy to try something else. So yeah, motivated to start training, but I'm going to enjoy this last little trip this weekend.
That sounds pretty good. So thanks a lot for your time, and I wish you really a good time on the lonely island, and all the best for next year. And I hope we talk soon again.
Thanks, Toby. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.